Praise the Lord. Everybody having a good time. I know you're real cool. Anybody cold? Nobody's cold. Well, that's good. If we was in Arkansas, probably somebody'd be cold. But these folks in Maine are a lot more agreeable. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's shout with a voice of triumph. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I might try another one. Yeah, go up a little. No, maybe we'll go down. Hallelujah. A little bit lower.
A little bit lower.
Amen. I'm not used to trying to chord here. Brother.
God's got an artist.
Let's see here. Well, Brother Gill's already told me before church that I was an artist. He said, you attract or you draw flies.
Yeah.
That's it. So I already know I'm an artist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't get there.
Right.
A little different. God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song. There's healing in their hand. Everlasting joy. Gladness is their song. And in this army I have got a part. Oh yes, God's got an army that's marching through the land. Deliverance is their song. There's healing in their hand. Oh, everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I've got a part. Got a part. Yes, God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song. There's healing in their hand. Oh, everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I have got a part. Come on, let's praise them a little bit here. God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song. There's healing in their hand. Everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I have got a part. Oh yes, God's got an army marching through the land. Yes, deliverance is their song, and there's healing in their hand. Oh, everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army you have got a part. Woo! Turn around and point to somebody and say, I got a part in God's army. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all can go down or wherever you want to sit, whatever you're comfortable with. You want to stay up here or go down, wherever you want to do. Yes, God's got an army marching through the land. Yes, deliverance is their song. And there's healing in their hand. Oh, everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I have got a part. Oh, yes, God's got an army marching through the land. Oh, there's healing in their hand. Everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I've got a part. Oh yes, God's got this army, and it's marching through the land with deliverance in their song. Glad I'm a horse out there. And in this army I have got a part. Yes, God's got an army marching through this land. Oh, deliverance is their song, and there's healing in their hand. Oh, everlasting joy, gladness in their heart. In this army I have got a part. Oh, God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song. Healing in their hand. Yeah. In this army I have got a part. Woo! God's got an army. Yeah. Glory. Amen. Glory. God's got a part of Ohio. And in this army I have got a part. Oh, yes, God's got this army, and it's moving through the land. Yes, deliverance is their song, and there's healing in their hand. Oh, everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I've got a part. Yes, in this army I've got a part. Yes,
is their song.
Glory! Thank God! In their heart. And in this army I have got a part. Got an army. Amen. Glory! And at almost at the Ramadi on the Yaki City, Lord Sultan of the Sun. Woo! Yes! Thank God! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Yeah, Lord! In this army I have got a part. Oh, yeah! Thank God! Yay, Lord. Alama Salamondoriandaya. Praise God. Globo Satamaneando, Yahasule. Yes, God got this army, and it's marching through the land. Deliverance is their song, and there's healing in their hand. Everlasting joy. Gladness in their heart, and in this army I've got a part. Oh, yeah, glory, marching through the land. Deliverance is their song, there's healing in their hand, everlasting joy. Oh, and in this army I've got a part. Oh, be a revival in the land. Yes, there's gonna be a revival in the land. From the north to the south, from the east to the west, oh, there's gonna be a revival in the land. Yes, there's gonna be a revival in the land. Oh, there's gonna be a revival in the land. From the north to the south, from the east to the west, oh, there's gonna be a revival in the land. Oh, there's gonna be a revival in the land. Yes, there's gonna be a revival in the land. From the north to the south, from the east to the west, oh, there's gonna be a revival in the land. Oh, something's gonna happen, I've got faith. Yes, something's gonna happen, I've got faith. Oh, for the Spirit of the Lord is here, I can feel it in this place. Oh, something's gonna happen, I've got faith. Oh, yeah, something's gonna happen, I've got faith. Glory! Something's gonna happen, I've got faith. Oh, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. I can feel it in this place. Oh, something's gonna happen. I've got faith. Yes, there's gonna be a revival in the land. Oh, there's gonna be a revival in the land. From the north to the south, from the east to the west. There's gonna be a revival in the land.
Woo!
Glory! Our God. Yay! Lord of the Sunday on a fire. It's hard to let go of my glory. Amen. I tell you what, whatever state you're from, you just put that as the place of revival. Let's sing that a little bit, all right? Amen. There's going to be a revival in Arkansas. Wherever you're from, say that state. Got me? From the north to the south.
He said, where?
Your state now. From the north to the south, from the east to the west, there's gonna be a revival in the land. Yes, there's gonna be a revival in the land. Praise God. There's gonna be a revival in the land. From the north to the south, from the east to the west, oh, there's gonna be a revival in the land. Yes, something's gonna happen. I've got faith. Yeah. Oh, something's gonna happen. I've got faith. Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. I can feel it in this place. Something's gonna happen. I've got faith. Glory. Oh, Satan, your kingdom must have to come down. Yes, Satan, your kingdom must come down. Oh, I heard
the voice of Jesus say,
Satan,
your kingdom must come down. Well, Satan, your kingdom must come down. Satan, your kingdom must come down.
For oh, I heard that voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom must come down. We're gonna pray till we pray your kingdom down. We're gonna pray till we pray your kingdom down. For I heard that voice of Jesus say, oh, Satan, your kingdom must come down. We're gonna worship till we worship your kingdom now. Yeah, we're gonna worship till we worship your kingdom now. Well, I heard that voice of Jesus say,
Satan, your kingdom must come now. Well, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to lay down your weapons and flee. Oh, God has given me authority. I'm gonna walk all over thee. Now I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to throw down your weapons and flee. For God has given me authority to walk right over thee.
Praise God. Glory. One more time, give him a round of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, amen. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Praise God, amen. Yes. Praise God, amen. You have your Bibles, let's turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter. It's certainly been our privilege to have been in this camp meeting. We appreciate the invitation to come. And I guess the reason I'm here, the Bible says, condescend to men of low estate. And you felt that it was time to obey that scripture, so you invited me. I appreciate that practice of good Christianity. The Lord will reward you abundantly. We're glad to be here, having a great time, and we appreciate everything that's been done to try to make us real comfortable and happy. We've enjoyed all the food. So everybody give the cooks a hand. I think it's been excellent. Everything that's been prepared. Hallelujah. If I never get to come back, at least I can tell my grandchildren, if the world tarries that long, that I did at least get to go to Maine two times. This is the second time to be here within a year. So it's certainly good to have gotten to know some of you folks a little better. Galatians, the sixth chapter. Y'all were going to make sure that I preached tonight, weren't you? The sixth chapter of the book of Galatians, and verse number 9. Let me see if I can put a little bit of time here on myself. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Everybody read the, let us read that whole verse. It's a short one. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Praise God. And I want to read a couple of verses from Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God Almighty. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together under the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, captains, mighty men, and of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the throne and against his army. Then the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with his flesh. Everybody say, thank God we win, we win. Amen. We just read the end of the book, and we know that we win. In the seventh chapter of Daniel, verse 27, the kingdoms and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Aren't you glad tonight that we're on the winning side? Praise God. It's not even in question tonight whether or not the kingdom of God is eventually going to prevail over the forces of evil. It's already guaranteed and sealed in God's book, and just a matter of time before it flows into completion. So all you need to be concerned about doing, really one of the things, is just stay in the boat. Stay with God, walk with God, irregardless of what comes or goes. Stay with God, and somehow He will take you through. And just like, you know, there was a great expectation for centuries and centuries concerning the first coming of the Lord Jesus, and then one day it was historically fulfilled. So it will be with the coming of the Lord. God is not slack concerning His promises. He will return to this earth for the second time. And He will fulfill everything that needs to be fulfilled in the book of Revelation when He does come back to this earth again. As most of you know, there was a book written recently about when the Lord was going to come. And a lot of people was stirred up and claims were made about people being saved. And I received recently another book, a revision of that one, stating that he miscalculated by a year. And so he's saying it will be, I think, sometime in September now, the best of my remembrance. Anybody read that book? Seen the latest one? I don't know what you think about it, but we all know the Lord's coming, and our concern is to just simply be ready when He gets here. Hallelujah. Because if your heart quits pumping blood through your body tonight in your sleep or on the way home, that might as well have been the coming of the Lord of the rapture for you, because that is it. Praise God. Let's thank Him tonight for His presence, then you can be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I changed my message this afternoon in prayer. I thought this is what I should preach, so help me preach for a while tonight. I'm not usually given that much to titles. Every once in a while, I do use a message that has a title. And this is really a very practical message that God gave me before a service, visiting at another service in about 5 minutes' time. I believe it did come by inspiration, though it's very practical. I think all of us preachers know the secret of successful preaching is just the ability to feel the inspiration of our message. If we cannot feel the inspiration from God about what we're talking about, then it doesn't come to very much profit, does it? I'd like to talk about 7 reasons why God's people cannot possibly lose or fail. Now, we're living in a time when there is the prospect for much fainting. And if we're not careful, we could faint. I remember years ago, a man came to our church by the name of Charlie Wycliffe. Perhaps you have not ever heard of him. A man that was given to much prayer. And he would pray all night and seek the Lord in an intercessory way. He had a gift of praying, but he was certainly no great spokesman by any stretch of the imagination. I can remember one time that he preached the message from Luke 18. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he announced that as his title, and he walked around a little bit and he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. He walked to the side of the other side of the pulpit, and he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that's just about all he said for about 40 minutes. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I told the folks, if you ever forget that verse, you're in trouble. God surely intended to implant that in our minds. Praise God. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We know that if we don't pray, then the possibility does exist for us fainting. Now, We're wanting great things to happen. We're wanting to do great things for God. We're His people, and He has given us power. But sometimes things don't go just like we'd like to see them go, do they? We don't all the time grow as fast as we would like to grow. There are sometimes battles that we have to fight that we don't enjoy fighting. And sometimes we're engaged with some enemies from within that should not be our enemies. You notice the book of Malachi, you'll find seven charges there that God made against the people after all that God had done for them to bring them back into the land and cause a process of restoration. They built the temple again and the walls, and they were back into the study of the law, the scriptures, and they were offering sacrifices. But there were elements among them that could not properly understand where they were in their time period. Nehemiah was a contemporary of Malachi. And we find that during the writing of Malachi, they had been back in the land for about 100 years. And so they were in their temple, they were offering sacrifices, but their heart had got away from God. And God came to them with seven charges trying to bring them back to Him. But they had really fainted in their mind because they just could not understand the workings of God's timetable. They said, the glory of the latter half, the prophet said, is going to be greater than that of the former. But it wasn't in their eyes. After the temple was built, they sat down and they wept because of remembrances of the glory of Solomon's temple. But they could not understand that there was coming a fulfillment of things that were connected to the church. So, you know, sometimes we just have to be satisfied in a measure with what we have right now and expecting things to come just a little bit later. But I want to talk about these seven reasons why that God's people cannot possibly fail. Reason number one is simply this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, I don't care what adverse power there is. Am I hurting your ears? Praise God. I don't know what possible adverse power there could be anywhere that could possibly even remotely challenge the power of God. So if He is on our side, who can be against us? Now, we need to make sure that God is on our side. Now, He's not necessarily on our side just because we claim to be Jesus' name, or just because we say that we have the Holy Ghost. That does not necessarily mean that God is all the way on our side. Amen? Paul talked about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. The unity of the Spirit is simply, in essence, agreeing with God. If we don't agree with God, there is no unity of the Spirit. This is God's church. The church at Ellsworth is not Brother Hurd. It's the Lord's church. It's not Sister Jeffers' church. It is the Lord's church. It belongs to Him. David was trying to take the ark to a tent and give honor to it. He's trying to do a good thing, but he finds that he's got a dead man on his hands.
when he discovered the problem, he found out that he simply was not following God after God's due order. God's message to the seven churches of Asia. Most of them, he said, I have something against you. We're out of agreement. And when God gets out of agreement with us, he's going to let us know it. It's his show. It's his church. He's got more invested in it than we'll ever have. He said, I've got something against you. Ephesus, you've lost your first love. And to God, that was very serious. He said, if you don't take care of the problem, I'm requiring repentance or else. God can set mandates. And when God sets a mandate, we better start perking up, waking up, and start hastening to do something about the problem. He said, if you don't repent and do your first work, then I am going to remove the candlestick. Isn't that right? And to another one of those churches, he said, if you don't take care of the problem, I'm going to come and fight against you with the sword of my mouth. Sometimes we wonder what's going on. Why is the preacher all stirred up? What have we done now? Well, when the ministry is walking in the Spirit of God, he will take on the very feeling of God. And if there is something wrong, then the man of God brings that out. Sometimes it's even shown in his demeanor. God has emotions, doesn't he? He does. And he said, if you don't take care of that problem, I'm going to come and fight against you with a sword of my mouth. We're sometimes wondering what has gone wrong. What has gone wrong sometimes is that we have allowed the unity of the Spirit to be broken. And it's kind of like Joshua's problem after the great success of Jericho. He endures now the agony of defeat at Ai. And he's all perplexed. He doesn't know what's going on. God, what happened? And the Lord said, well, Joshua, just, you know, get up off the floor, off the ground. You're wasting your time. Don't talk to me. There's sin in the camp. Sin in the camp. And until you take care of that, forget it. I'm not going to be with you anymore. That's what he said. This is it. You're not going any farther. So, if we're not careful, you know, Israel found out quickly that really she was not just God's pet. She was God's pattern. And when she stopped fulfilling God's pattern, God was just as much against her as he had been for her when she was doing his will. Psalms 50 and verse 2 says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. But then read in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 15, where that beauty of Zion is being made fun of and mocked. What's the difference in the two accounts? God has withdrawn his hand because of a breaking in the unity of the Spirit of God. And judgment fell on him. I'd like to have God on my side, but he ain't going to get on my side just because I want him to be on my side. There is a supreme purpose and working in God's mind, his will in the earth. And if we'll line up to that, then God will be with us and we can write chapters like the early church did. You see, really, the success of their operation was that God went with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. You know, we are living in a time to where we've given some very decorative names to some real old sins. Folks don't commit adultery anymore, fornication. They're just either sexually active or not. Pardon me. Brother Hurd speaks plainly anyway. It's not adultery and fornication anymore. It's sexually active. I'm sexually active. No blushing. You know, new names for some real old sin. And I appreciate the grace of God and the love of God, and it can change anybody. But I'm not going to use the word gay for those who have a perverted lifestyle. The very best word I'm going to use is homosexual. And I prefer sodomite or sad. They're not gay in God's book. They're not gay, they're sad. And the church has not, by God, in these last days, been turned into an institution to make people feel better about themselves. We still have the gospel as a mandate, and the first principle of it is repentance. Hallelujah. And if people are not willing to repent, God's not going to short-circuit His gospel and plan for anybody. Oh, hallelujah. He wants you all right, but I'm telling you, we've got a great deal up here from God. We need to bring John the Baptist in. Let him do a little preaching. He didn't preach a whole lot of entertaining sermons. Repent on Sunday morning, repent on Sunday night, repent Monday, repent Thursday. What are you going to preach on tonight, John? Repent. What are you going to preach tomorrow night? Repentance. Hallelujah. You folks over there just acting like you're going and you're repenting. I want to see some fruit of it. Woo! Glory. Amen. Folks, we can have church. We can have revival if we'll get in line with God's plan, but we're not ever going to have it trying to short-circuit it and take a shortcut and develop an alternate pattern. God is not going to have it. Woo! Because it belongs to Him. Hallelujah. Let's everybody say, raise your hand, say, God, help me to be on your side. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if He is on my side, everything's going to work out. I'm not worried about it if he's on my side. If He's for us, then who in the world could possibly be against us? Isaiah tells us in chapter 40, verse 22, it is He that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. This is a great God we're serving. You know, in the book of Acts, there were some things that happened that caused great fear to come upon the church. In its early stages, not one lie could slip by the light of the Spirit in God's church. The Spirit rose up against it, said, "You've lied to the Holy Ghost." And they fell over dead, and God carried them out, or the people carried them out, God killed them. That was it.
dawn. And great fear came upon the church. Now, I know that there is an unhealthy response to God that a person can have. But nonetheless, the scripture does teach that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. The fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians still, in a New Testament sense, talks about some people that should not be in the confines of his church. He said, I'm not talking now about out here in the world, or you'd have to leave the world. But in the church, he said, don't have any fellowship with fornicators, extortioners, railers. He said, put that wicked person from among you. And if we're not careful, all these new names for old sins, and we become so tolerant of that which grieves God, that we wonder what has gone wrong. And before too long, we've got God against us. God trying to work to expel that leaven. Hallelujah. The whole mountain of scriptures in a New Testament sense that talks about purity, holiness, blamelessness, spotless, without a blemish. He'll return for his bride. It will be an illustrious church. It will be without spot. It won't have any blemishes. Isn't that right? Isn't that the church he's coming back after? That we are a part of tonight. Oh, hallelujah. We need to be reminded, I think, just every once in a while of how big God is. Yeah, he's a pretty big God. Even his thoughts are so much above ours that it's declared to be the distance between the heavens and the earth, Brother Warren. Now, that's a little bit of distance. Now, bear with me here just a moment. You know, it takes a beam of light that travels at 186,000 miles per second. It takes a beam of light that travels that fast across the earth 7.5 times. This 186 miles per second is actually 700 million miles per hour. It takes a beam of light over 100 thousand years, they tell us, just to cover the distance of the length of our own galaxy, called the Milky Way. And we're told that this galaxy is just only one among many billions. If we look at the size of the earth and compare it with the sun, if the sun were hollow, you could put 1,300,000 Earths inside the sun. A star named Antares, if hollow, could hold 64 million suns. In the constellation of Hercules, there's a star which could contain 100 million Antares. And the largest known star, Epsilon, could easily swallow up several million stars the size of the one in Hercules. It's a pretty good little room that God has created by his power. Just like I would stretch out a person, God has stretched it out. Hallelujah. I don't mind a God like that being on my side. Hallelujah. And all these threatening powers on every hand that seems to threaten our existence, Father, there are reasons why that we cannot possibly lose. Because if God is on your side, it's reason number one. Oh, hallelujah. And amazingly, the universe is just as small as it is big. We're told that on the tip of a ballpoint pen,
There's so many atoms that if they were carried by an army, marching four abreast, an atom to a man, it'd take over 20,000 years for a march past. Glory! That's just on the tip of a ballpoint pen. They say that there are as many protons in a cubic inch of copper as there are drops of water in the oceans of the world, or grains of sand on the seashores of our entire planet. Now, if we look at the body, we're told that there's some 75 trillion cells in the average body of a man. Each individual cell is unbelievably complex. Each cell is a world brimming with as many as 20 or 200 trillion tiny groups of start with an arm or a leg or even a hair or a tooth, but he picked him up out of the red mud and formed him, fashioned him, and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Woo! Praise God. Amen. So from the prophet Malachi, we learn of the book of remembrance that God made of them who feared him and who brought thought on his name. And the Lord said that they shall be in his mind. And the day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. Hallelujah. Well, I like that song, that my day is coming. Down here, we might not get much recognition, and few people might know us. But oh, there's a day coming. God's got a book of remembrance. Woo! Our day is coming. It's going to get here. Psalms 124, it said, if it not had been the Lord who was on our side. Everybody say that. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams would have gone over our soul, and the proud waters would have destroyed us. But he said, blessed be the Lord who has not given us up as a prey to their teeth. But our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the same one who made heaven and earth. Woo! If God's on your side, you're doing all right. Stand up just a moment. Shake hands with somebody. Say, if God's on my side, I'm in pretty good shape. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Now, it took 34 minutes for me to get reason number one. So I got to speed up. Everybody say, speed up, Brother Pibble. Amen. Reason number two, you know, we sometimes give so much credence and prominence to the strength of Satan that we have put him on. We have put him on an equality with God. We have got in our minds sometimes that God is over here and he's balanced out over here by Satan. Well, that is a long way from the truth. The fact of the matter is, Satan was one of God's created beings. Woo! God created him. And now, he is simply a fallen angel. He is in no way, form, or fashion
a counterpart to God.
And his defeat was determined by the death and the resurrection of our Lord. Now, he himself is not yet destroyed, but he will be. His destruction has already been assured. In World War II, there were two major victories in Europe called D-Day and VE-Day. D-Day was on June the 6th, 1944, when to all intents and purposes, the result of that war was decided by the victorious landing of the Allies on the coast of France. But VE Day did not come until almost a year later. Although many battles were fought and many lives lost, no one doubted the final outcome. Well, hallelujah. We're still fighting tonight, but there is no question about what the outcome will be. God disarmed Satan's power and openly displayed to the whole world the triumph of the cross.
Hallelujah. I don't know if this is true or not. I heard a story about a particular battle in Vietnam. Where it was, I don't know. It was supposed to be true. The North Vietnamese had our men surrounded on a particular hill. They were cut off. Looked like there was no hope. They were going to be destroyed. So the leader came up with the idea that we're just going to get right out here in the open and start laughing. So he told them to get out and laugh. He said, if you have to tickle yourself or whatever you have to do, make yourself laugh. And supposedly this was confirmed by the capture of one of those soldiers of the North Vietnamese. And they laughed and they laughed and they laughed. So they couldn't laugh no more. Just walked around and laughed. And the enemy got to looking at that and they said, either they know something we don't know, or immediate reinforcements are on the way. Woo, hallelujah. The devil sometimes likes to get us down in the mouth. And if he gets your mouth cut off, you're in trouble. That's right. If you can't talk and pray, you're in trouble. We need to get our mouth in agreement with what the Word of God says. Amen. The Word says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Would it be all right for me to read a couple of verses from the Amplified? You do that. Ephesians 1:19, so that you may know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and unsurpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. All power, all authority, all dominion. God's rule and authority is not just above that, it's far above it. Far above it. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body, this is what I like, for in that body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, for in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere. Oh, hallelujah.
in that body is the full measure of Him who makes everything complete and fills everything everywhere. So really, Satan's not all that big. He's been stripped of his power. Hallelujah. He's defeated. And just one little angel is going to bind him, cast him into the bottomless pit in Revelation 20. Not going to take but one. Is that what it says? That's the way I read it. One angel's going to bind him and throw him into the bottomless pit. Now, what are we worried about? He's defeated. We need to let him know he's defeated. And that we know he's defeated. A lot of his rule now is simply by intimidation. Bluff. If we'll call his hand and command him to move, we're chasing him. He's not chasing us. Because of God's power. In World War I, there was a French leader who sent a message to his commander and said this: my right is broken, my left is shattered, my center is in retreat, the situation is excellent, let us attack. Well. He preached on it, MacArthur's statement: there is no substitute for victory. Hallelujah. We don't need to settle for less than the victory. I don't care if we got 5 people or 10 people or 300 people. We can have the victory if it's just taken in our own personal life. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory! Ezekiel was coming to dreams and revelation in a land of bondage. Daniel wasn't having any trouble in those foreign kingdoms. He just opened the windows and prayed. Woo! What if he gets thrown into a den of lions or a lion's den? God was in there and closed their mouth. Hallelujah. We're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Thank God. There's a price to be paid for living spiritually victorious. There's also a price to pay for not having the victory. Ah, my. We went to, years ago, took training to be a principal for ACE school. And we got to attend services conducted by the people who sponsor that. You know who I'm talking about? And the MC and the preacher, boy, he was just all energetic and talking about what great services they had and how tremendous it was. I tell you, I couldn't stand too many of them great services. Woo! I think about one more would have done a job on me. Thank God. We can have church. We can have victory. We can have liberty. Yes, sir. We can have a sweet communion of the Lord Jesus. Number three, two, Satan is a fallen angel. But number three, evidently 2/3 of the angels are still good, and they're on our side, and they're ministering spirits. How many believes in angels? Woo! Glory! Whether you believe in it or not, there's 273 references made in the Word of God in reference to them. They're created beings who praise, protect, and they even bring punishment. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us their ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be the heirs of salvation. And they minister to us in at least 3 ways. In times of deliverance, when it's needed, and in time of danger, and even in death. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. There might have been an angel involved here some way in the protection of this brother. It could have been a whole lot worse. You don't know how many times God has saved you from a car wreck or intervened in some special way that you don't know about. But the angel of the Lord, he makes a tent around about them that fear him, and he delivers them. Whew. Peter got out of prison
because of an angel. Paul said, an angel of God stood by me this night. An angel of the Lord communicated with me, said there'll be no loss of life in this ship. Lazarus, the poor beggar, had angels for pallbearers. They were all around the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Gabriel announced the coming of John to Zacharias, the coming of the Christ child of Mary. Also, Joseph was spoken to by an angel, and Jesus was ministered to by an angel in the wilderness and in Gethsemane. And all in the book of Acts, you see activities of angels. I know we've had them here in these meetings. They're always around. Praise God. That's no big deal, is it? He has given his angels charge over us to keep us in all their ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest at any time thy foot shall be cast against the stone. You know, Brother Gill, and they talk about Jesus could have called 12 legions, which he said was 72,000. You know, there was one angel in the book of Isaiah chapter 37, of course, called the angel of the Lord. He slew 185,000 warriors in one night. If all those angels had equal power, 172,000 could have potentially destroyed 13 billion people, 320 million. Woo! Glory, not half that many people on the earth right now. Two-thirds of the angels are still good, and they're still on our side. Praise God. Amen. You don't have to faint. You don't have to despair. You got some things on your side. Oh, now, the precious Word of God. How many appreciate the Word of God tonight? Paul said, whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scripture we might have hope. Somebody wrote a long time ago, infidels for 1900 years have been refuting and overthrowing, trying to, this book of God, and yet it stands today as solid as a rock. Its circulation increases, and it's more loved and cherished and read today than ever before. Infidels, with all their assaults, make about as much impression on this book as a man would with a tack hammer on the pyramids of Egypt. The book of God is an anvil that has worn out many hammers. So the hammers of infidels have been pecking away at this book for ages, but the hammers are worn out and the anvil still endures. I declare to you tonight, if this book had not been the book of God, men would have destroyed it long ago. But emperors, popes, kings, priests, princes, rulers have all tried their hand at it. And thank God the book still lives. Voltaire, the noted French infidel who died, by the way, in 1778, said that in 100 years from his time, Christianity would be swept from existence and passed into history. But guess who died? And guess who's still living? Or what's still living? Just as real and powerful and alive as it ever was. The Word of God. Brother Gill talked to us today about a total commitment. We'd all like to be able to know things like Brother Gill, wouldn't we? Oh, I wish I knew the Bible like Brother Gill. Well, I suppose he got it one day. He just went to bed early, and he happened to fall asleep with his mouth wide open. And God just came in there and filled his mouth with the Word of God. You see, that scripture is, you know, it's a little bit more to it than just open your mouth and I'll fill it. If you hadn't put anything in there, you'll fill it all right. With whatever you filled yourself with. We'd like to know things like he does, but are we willing to study and apply and discipline ourselves towards getting there? But Jesus, he overcame by knowing what was written. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Woo, hallelujah. I think there's more contained in that statement than just the surface. I think he's saying to us, I've overcome, you're going to be able to overcome. That's the success of being able to live for God, is overcome. Caleb's faith got hindered. He was born in slavery, and then he had, because of unbelief, wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And he heard all this bickering, all this complaining, all of these spirits of insurrection against authority and people who did not understand what God was trying to do. But, you know, he didn't faint. My, you look at the odds of 2 out of 600,000 who equally received the promise that I, God said this, will take you into a land that flows with milk and honey, and yet only 2 out of those original 600 fighting men that left Egypt went in. Isn't that right? Well, they could have fanned. They heard all the complaining, all the griping. The folks couldn't see the cloud, but they could, you know, complain about every little thing. They didn't faint. They just kept on walking. And finally, Caleb was able to say, give me this mountain. Oh, hallelujah. Everything don't have to be going just perfect. Huh? And if everything's not going just right in your church, don't pull up and say, well, I'm going over here because we got this problem, we got that problem. Folks, you know, we all have a tendency to look across the fence. Brother Westmoreland, by the way, it's good to see you and your wife. And there he was in our district, know them pretty well. Great to see them here tonight. But we look across the fence, and that old chicken that's over there walking around clucking every time looks like a turkey. All he's got to do is be on the other side of the fence, and every chicken looks like a turkey. You may not understand that terminology. In other words, the grass is always greener on the other side. That is, until you get over there. And then you're going to find out that there's probably some same problems over there just like you left. And I've heard folks say, well, I'm going over there to so-and-so's church. They ain't got this problem. They ain't got no problems over there. And I told them, well, when you get over there, they're going to have some problems. Woo! So you might as well stay at home and let us preach to you and deal with you and work on you and whittle you down to where you'll fit into God's purpose as one of his lively stones, because, you know, every person presents one potential problem, and what we got to do is just learn how to make room for everybody. Glory. You didn't decide who your brothers and sisters were. That was the work of your parents. Especially those parents, you know, sometimes children come unexpectedly, but then after a while, they acknowledge that they could not have done without that child. And so they thank God that it did come. Number 5, we have a better covenant. The Apostle Paul said, if we compare the glory of the old covenant with the glory of this covenant, although we can talk about Moses and the Red Sea parting and all that sort of stuff, he said the glory that now excels in where we're living so far surpasses that of the old, that there is simply no grounds for comparison. Hallelujah. This is a better covenant built on better promises. He said we ought not to just always say the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it's actually God in us.
in resident form. Through the Spirit, He is our aid. He's our assistant. He is our helper. And as we are now able, not with a veil, but to open faithfully, catch a image of the glory of the Lord, every time we do that, we're changed, transformed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. How many's been in the church a year? It's getting better all the time, isn't it? How many's been in 2 years? You've been in 2 years, it's better than it was the first year. You've been in 5 years, it's better than it was the first year. You've been in 10 years, it's better than in the fifth year. 20 years had the Holy Ghost, it ought to be more precious to you, and it is. If you're walking with God, there's just no top of this walk with God. It just keeps on growing and getting richer. You know, we ministers, we preach things, preach them over and over and over again, and then the spirit of revelation comes by times, and we just add to it. God gives a little clearer vision, a little bit more to it, and a little bit more precious, and we're just seeing through a glass darkly now. I know that the Bible said, but one of these days, we're going to face to face. And we shall be exactly like Him. Woo, hallelujah. My. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm over here under this covenant. Now, we cannot ever take the grace of God and make it a license to sin, but I do thank God for grace. Because I'll be quite honest with you, I've sinned since I've had the Holy Ghost. I hadn't run around with women and all that kind of business, but either commissions or omissions, I've had to go and say, God, forgive me. I messed it up. Thank God His Word says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, Saul, he didn't get that many chances. Huh? That poor fellow picked up sticks on the Sabbath day. I'm glad I wasn't him. What about Achan's wife and children? Now, you don't challenge God. You don't even question Him. He's God. Well, I'm just saying, I'm glad I wasn't them. We're living over here in a better day, that's a better covenant with better, a more sure word, a biblical term, of prophecy. You're over here now on that area of time on whom the ends of the world have come. This is a great hour. The kingdom of God is not just coming. The kingdom of God is here now. And we are living in it, and I know it's progressing, and there'll be a final manifestation of it, but God's kingdom is here now with a resident authority and rulership. Woo, let's stand together. We got a better covenant. We're moving from glory to glory. You're not about to go out. You're not about to lose. You're not about to be blown out of the saddle. Oh, you're very secure. Six is simply the weapon of prayer. Strong in the Lord. The seventh thing that warrior was supposed to be involved in after the loins of truth, breastplate, so on. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. The seventh thing was praying. Always with all prayer and supplication. All kinds of prayer. Ezekiel 36, God said He would increase the men of Israel like a flock. Yet He said, I will wait to be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. God has determined to do some things already in His will and in His plan. But the staggering thing is, He's not going to do it until somebody takes a hold of Him in prayer. I know you can debate it and talk about it and come at it from different directions, but does God really care until we care? Come on, man.
Well, in one sense he does. But God looked for a man. Book of Ezekiel says to stand in the gap and build up the hedge.
Right. Yes.
And he didn't find one. He looked for one, but he didn't find one.
True.
And because he didn't find one, what happened? Destruction. My, my, my. This man right here is a classic example of what I tried to preach one night. Little enough and big enough. You know, he'd make anybody a good Sunday school or a good youth leader. Huh? And yet, he's a prophet. Just whatever is to be done. He'll pray, come to your church if he had time on schedule, and have an all-night prayer meeting with you and pray for everybody in the church. And him, 67 years old, and do that all night. Pray for everybody and their needs. And all that's just great. Folks, we need to crank up this thing called prayer. I know you've heard it over and over and over and over again, but you're going to... Some folks still ain't praying. That's right. Still neglecting prayer, and we're paying the price for it. So all I know, they'll just keep on harping, blowing, sounding off about prayer. Come on, pray. We got to do it. Pray, 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 pray. Hallelujah. I preach on prayer probably a million times in Osceola, and they preach on it when I get home. Pray. We got to pray, man. We got to pray. Come on now. Men ought always to pray, not to faint. Come on. We got to pray. Amen. We don't know what to say as we ought to pray for like we ought to, but God kills the intercession.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh. I know of a man struggling in a place for revival. Hadn't been anybody to get the Holy Ghost there in years. Some kind of a spirit was there. He engaged that spirit somehow in the middle of the worship service. Said he had a brand new suit on and rolled all over the floor and wrestled with some kind of spirit for 1 hour right there in front of everybody. Speaking in tongues in a rebuking way.
Yes.
After that hour, somehow he had defeated that spirit, and a great number of people were able to get the Holy Ghost in that place. You know, it's possible for Satan to have a seat in the church.
That's right.
Brother Blaylock, you know him well, told me he was preaching revival in a certain place, and he was praying on Saturday night, and he said, in the building, there appeared a black object up in the rafters.
Wow.
And he said it started leaping from one side to the other all over the building, and actually spoke and said, I am the hindering spirit that has come to hinder this revival. And he said the next morning it was utter chaos. The pastor taught, and he said he could not stick or stay with his subject in any presentable way at all. Just mass confusion. When you start a revival in Maine, do people have a tendency to get sick? Things go wrong. Everything starts happening, you know, when you start trying to have a revival. I don't think that's just coincidental.
No, it isn't. It is.
Huh? Well, we're going to have to get to the point of where we lock horns with these towers and pull them down. Is that right? We got some weapons, and he's defeated, but I tell you one thing for sure, the victory is ours, but we will not have it, Brother West Bowler, without a fight. And a lot of times, Brother, we lose by default. We never came out of the corner, and we lost by default. Oh, God. Help us to learn how to war in prayer. The last one is simply the all-sufficient grace of God. If you need more grace, if you're here tonight and say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Well, you're in a position where God's going to give you more grace.
Yes, sir.
Grace is really the power that enables.
That's right.
Gives you power to do not what you want to do, but what you ought to do.
True.
Great grace was upon the early church while they needed it. Threatenings all around, physical harm, opposition. Great grace was upon them.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for God's grace? I told you it's a very practical message, but it's there. We're not going to lose, folks. We're not going anywhere.
Right.
We're going to walk on that street of gold.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
We win.
I hope that's us on those white horses riding with him. But anyway, I know, thank God, we've read the end of the book.
Yes.
And we win, we win.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Closing tonight, finally, Habakkuk 3:17 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flocks shall be cut off from the folds, and there shall be no herds in the stalls. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Yes. Doesn't matter what's going on. We're going to rejoice in the God of our salvation. Somebody made a little modern rendition of that, and they said, though the economy is unstable and unemployment is rising, though communism may be growing and terrorism is rampant, though the car is broken down and my wife is stranded downtown, though my kid just broke his arm and the medical insurance ran out, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and let the Lord encourage us tonight. Praise God.
We win, we win.
Glory to God. Let's come around the front.
I read the back of the book, and we win, we win, we win. Hallelujah, we win. Hallelujah, we win. Oh, we win, we win. Hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book, and we win, we win, we win. Hallelujah, we win. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we win. Oh, we win, we win. Hallelujah, we win.
Glory.
I read the back of the book.
Thank God. We win.
We win. Hallelujah. We win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We win. We win. We win. Hallelujah. We win.
Yes, we win.
I read the back of the book.
And we win.
We win. We win. Hallelujah. We win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We win.
Thank God.
We win. We win. Hallelujah. We win. I read the back of the book. And we win. We win, we win, hallelujah, we win, hallelujah, hallelujah, we win.
Oh, they should preach out to us tonight, saints, hallelujah.
I read the back of the book, and we win,
we win,
we win, hallelujah, we win, hallelujah, we win. Oh, we win, hallelujah, we win.
Oh,
I read the back of the book,
we win,
we win, hallelujah, we win, hallelujah. We win, we win, we win, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book, and we win,
we win, we win,
hallelujah, we win, hallelujah, we win.
Tonight, saints, this has been profound. We've heard a lot of statistics and everything else, but the main essence of this message tonight is we can be victorious in the situation that we find ourselves in, not just future. But we are victorious now. We are victorious now. I said we are victorious now.
Yeah.
And if y'all going through a situation or y'all going through a problem, I just want you to step out here and I want you to just step in front of this altar by faith now. And I don't want you to come asking God and begging and pleading. I just want you to come with your hands uplifted.
Yeah.
And I want you to begin to rejoice in the God of your salvation and in the realization that you have the victory. Where you come, if you've got that problem and if someone is alongside of that person, I want you to reach out and I want you to begin to pray for that person and agree with that person that there is going to be victory tonight in Jesus' name. Will you come? Amen. And just stand right here tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can just stand. Where you